Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, good morning. How many of you ready for Sex Ed Part 3? And all two of you are excited about it. Awesome. Man, today me and Angela are preaching together. And we're going to be looking at really what God has to say about sex and marriage. But I wanted to be able to give just a little bit of a recap of kind of where we've been. In the first week, we learned that until we put God in his proper order, our sexuality will always be out of order. That we're going to make investments in it, but never getting the return we were looking for. That God has to be first place and that he has a plan. That's what we looked about in week number two. And it doesn't matter whether you're single, dating, or married, God's plan for sexuality is purity, that we are to be a pure person and not full of mixture, that God has a plan for us, and that's called wholeness and fruitfulness, and that God has a design and a plan for our sexuality. How many of you believe that today? And man, I promise this, this one thing. Next weekend, I'm going to be answering your questions around this topic of sexuality. And I made some jokes last week and I said, I'm jumping in the deep end with that one. And it will. But how many of you know God's word has deep solutions for our life? And we can't be afraid of asking the hard questions of God, because then we never get the right answers. And so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to put a number up on the screen. If you got your phone, if you got something to write this down on, if you write down that number right there, text your questions in. I promise they're going to stay anonymous. We're not going to be like, hey, and this was so-and-so's question or any nothing like that. And I'm going to try to get to as many of them next week as I possibly can. But man, it's going to be an incredible weekend. I encourage you to get your questions in. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But today, lean in with us today. And here's what I would say is that today we're looking at sex inside the context of marriage. And sometimes that feels like, well, if I'm not married, does this apply to me? Yes, it applies to you, because it's ultimately God's plan A, God's vision for your life in this area. And so it doesn't matter where you come from today, this message is going to apply to you. But babe, why don't you kind of set the direction for us today?
Well, as Jesse mentioned, so today we're talking about sex in the context of marriage. And there's two scriptures that we just want to quickly share with you. And the first one is Hebrews 13:4. And it says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. And then there's another one, Ephesians 5:33, that says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And the title of our message today is called Love and the Marriage.
Come on, man. It's going to be a great day. If you love Jesus today, let's give him a big round of applause. Man, I got a show of hands in here. Anybody who likes to watch old reruns? Like, you like to watch some old reruns. Like, I remember growing up, like, you always got off out of school, and I'm done. Everybody give Victor a big round of applause. Thank you. And I remember always getting off of school early, right? And you came home, and there's nothing good on TV around 2:30 in the afternoon, right? Like, you had a few options. Like, for some of us, this will be, every generation will be represented here. How many remember Happy Days? Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't remember the rest. It goes some all the way. You know what I mean? Like the Fonz, you're like, yeah. You know what I mean? The Fonz. Hey. You know, how many of you remember always Safe by the Bell? I mean, like, that was one that, you know, everybody, like, you know, you can tell a lot about a person by who their favorite character was in Safe by the Bell, okay? By a show of hands, like, you were an A.C. Slater fan. See, all the guys that really liked him don't want to raise their hand because they know I just put them in a box, okay? And Saved by the Bell. How many of you remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Here's a story all about how my life got twisted upside down. I'd like to take a minute to sit right here in a town called Bel Air. Like, all these old reruns had these, like, these great, like, catchy tunes that went with them, and you just watched them because there was nothing else on, but you actually secretly really enjoyed them. And I remember there was this one that sometimes I would get home, and it was always on, and I think we got the theme song here real quick, and I want you to hear it and see if okay, I'll stop. But if you remember Married with Children, it was kind of one of those, it was actually one of those shows that my mom and dad didn't want me to watch, you know what I mean? But I kind of did anyway because I got home and that was what was on. And so you watched it, and I remember watching, and the whole thing with this, like, this show is basically two people that are married, and it just feels like they're just stuck. You know what I mean? Like, they're always kind of at each other, always making sarcastic remarks, always doing all this kinds of stuff. And there, as funny as the show was and the theme song was, one of the things that I started to realize, there wasn't a lot of love in the marriage. There was almost like watching the show, and it was like, yeah, they were married, yeah, they had kids, but there was like something deeply missing in the middle of their relationship. And there's something enjoyable about watching other people's dysfunction. Come on, let's be honest. Like, you know, you're like, it's kind of enjoyable watching somebody else's dysfunction, but how many of you know that's not the life that I want? Yeah. That's not the life that I want. In fact, I think God has a plan. God has a formula that we need to understand, that God wants to use not only our sexuality, but our marriages to bring love back to the marriage. That it's not something that we get stuck in, but it's something that breaks us free, liberates us, fills our life with love. That's the plans and the purposes that God has for us. And babe, why don't you talk to us just a little bit about what we've kind of discussed on what some of that plan looks like.
Yeah, it's funny because when I think about that show, I actually didn't like to watch it because it ruined all my dreams of marriage. Like, especially growing up in the church, we all have this perception of what marriage looks like and what we want it to be, and that all of a sudden marriage is going to be the end goal. It's going to be the answer to all, because not only that, but you also get to enter into a new level of freedom to basically do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, and it was just there, and all of a sudden marriage was going to be the answer. And the interesting thing about that is I even found that I was like super disappointed in that, because at some point it was, sorry, let me,
that was rude,
sorry, no, because hold on, let me get to where I need to go. But anyway, I remember even this bizarre feeling
nothing
of when,
like killing your husband in front of people, my goodness, man,
stop. Anyway, I remember this bizarre feeling that I had, like, when we got married and all of a sudden everything was okay, like, all of a sudden I could have sex with my husband, and I'm like, okay. And I'm a rule follower, so if anybody knows me, like, I like to know the rules and I will abide by them, I promise you. And so even like when we play games, like, no, that's not the rules, I'll intervene and say, no, we need to follow the rules. So I felt like I was breaking the rules for a long time. And so I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like, all of a sudden this is okay. Like, I don't know if that's okay. And then I got to this point where I was like, wow, you know what? There's actually a lot of freedom in this, and I can actually really enjoy it, and I can have fun, and we can be spontaneous. And there is actually a lot of freedom that comes into marriage, and it's fun, it's exciting, and it's okay to embrace that freedom. But what I found is that even though we have the freedom to say yes, and say yes doesn't mean that all of a sudden love is easy. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden love is going to be easy breezy, because I can say yes all the time to this one thing in my marriage. And so again, this concept of love, I Googled yesterday even just like, what do people think about love? And that's probably the wrong thing to Google, because you get all kinds of perceptions of when people hear the word love. And I know for me, I had this fantasy life of like, I wanted the fairy tale story. Can I tell you, those movies are just not realistic as much as we all pretend to think. I'm yes, that girl. I'm probably that chick flick girl. But at the same time, it gave me an invalid perception of what marriage and love really look like. And so I had this perception. I thought this is what it was going to be. And then I remember we came home from our honeymoon, And I came into, and our honeymoon was great. We had a blast. Like, literally, I was like on cloud nine. It was literally the honeymoon. And then I walked into our living room bedroom, and I had like our new, brand new home. We built a house. I had all of our new gifts on the floor, and I just bawled. I just cried, and I was like, what is wrong with me? I have everything in the world that I could possibly have. I had a new home, I had a family, I had a husband, and I had this overwhelming sense of disappointment. And it was like all of a sudden, because that feeling of love wasn't there. I'm talking a week after my honeymoon, a week after we got married. And I had this overwhelming sense of like, man, this is gone. Like, what am I gonna do now? This love is supposed to be what's here forever. And see, the feelings are supposed to last forever, but marriage equals love for the rest of your lives, right? Yeah. Doesn't it? You know, I some of us have become so infatuated with the idea of love, but we've also come infatuated with the idea of freedom that comes with being able to say yes to sex. While I found that God truly wants us to have freedom, and he wants us to be able to say yes, and he wants us to be deep in love, the reality is there's a very, very important missing ingredient in all of those. And that ingredient is responsibility. You see, God's formula for sexual fulfillment in marriage is simple. It's freedom plus responsibility equals love.
So good, man. And I love that because we all need to understand. Have you noticed, man, people, like, everybody wants sexual freedom.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost infected every aspect, including God's plan A called marriage. Yeah. Where it's just like, for Christians, they're just like, man, I'll get married, and then we can just do it. We can do it as much as we're going to be free to do whatever we want. And then there's the other side of it where people grow up, and they just think, oh, I'm going to get married, and love is just going to fill my life. It's going to be so incredible. And here's what I want you to know. Both of those things God wants for you. But there is a key ingredient that we have to understand, that we have to be responsible with our freedom if we want our freedom to produce love in our life. We actually have to be responsible with it. Like, you know, the thing that I experience, and I'm speaking a lot to Christians in some ways, is that we've kind of created this culture in Christianity where, like, sex is naughty, therefore don't do it. Then the goal is to get married, and then we just expect everything to go right.
Yeah.
Guys, there is a freedom that God wants people to have inside the context of marriage to your sex. Like God wants it to be free, like liberated, without apprehension, without fear, without guilt, without shame. God wants it to be a joyous experience. Come on, if you believe it today, give me a good amen. Like, God wants freedom in your sexuality. God wants it, but he said, hey, keep it to marriage, because here's why. If you violate that beforehand, even if you get inside the context of marriage, you are going to struggle with the freedom that I actually really wanted for you. So God's saying, hey, I want freedom. You know, I talk to married couples all the time. And can I be honest? I don't think married people have enough sex.
It's a good word.
Fifty 50% of the couples in here, whichever one you are, is just amening me. The other one's resenting me right now. But it's true. It's true because we think sex just has to do with passion. Can I tell you, spontaneity is not the default.
Right.
Just think about your life. Spontaneity is not the default. Like, spontaneity is a choice. Let me read to you a little bit of the word of spontaneous. This is what it means. Performing or occurring as a result of sudden inner impulse or inclination that is without premeditation. I think we need to bring some spontaneity back to marriages. Like, the whole world is breaking their souls because of spontaneity in their sexual relationships. I met so-and-so at a bar. I felt spontaneous. It turned into this. Now I'm fractured. I'm wounded. And now I'm carrying that from this relationship to this relationship. Married people, we're on the right track. Get some spontaneity and freedom to your sexuality. I mean, I don't need to give you too much more direction than that, but like cars, trains, airplanes. Like, get some imagination, friends. Like, you gotta keep things alive in your life. Like, here's what I say. Anything in my life, whatever I don't invest in and whatever I don't feed will dry up in my life. But whatever I invest in, if you just continue to think that like, oh man, like it's just going to be like, it's just all the time. It's just going to happen all the time just because it's so awesome. It won't. Yeah. It takes investment. One of my pastor friends who pastors in Dallas realized after he pastors one of America's largest churches, like a 40,000 member church. And over time, he started to realize what a bad thing this was in marriages. People were married, and they started off well, and then because their whole determining factor of what sex was self-fulfillment, when that began to dry up a little bit and it was less exciting, the sexual relationship that God designed to keep bringing people back together began to dry up. So he wrote a book called Sex Experiment. And literally, he challenged every married couple in his church to have sex 7 days in a row. Because why, guys? It's the freedom that God has brought to your lives. And it is a tool. God wants it to be free and liberated. But here's what I want you to understand. Paul says this about freedom. Freedom doesn't serve us. Freedom serves others. Yeah. Like that we have to be responsible for our freedom. Look at what Peter has to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for you are free. We're free in our sexuality for those of us that are married or are going to be married. Like we are free to do what we want. Yet you are as God's slaves. Do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. That we should have spontaneity in our sexual relationships. We should have fun. And we don't need to hear about it. You just do you. Have fun. Be merry. Do all of that thing. But here's what I want you to understand. Inside the context of that freedom, there is a responsibility that we don't allow our freedom to turn us into something that causes us to devalue our spouse. To put us in a situation that, what, takes our freedom and now begins to turn it into what is not longer free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, this theme is throughout the Bible. You are my brothers and sisters. You were called to be free. That's what the call of marriage is freedom in our sexual life. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That even inside the context of marriage, we can use what is quote unquote okay to feed a part of us that is not healthy, that is not God honoring. Let us not use our freedom to indulge our flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Freedom plus responsibility equals love. And so today we want to talk to you just a little bit about what responsibility looks like. What does this look like? And we're going to give you some declarative statements that some are, I won't do this, and I will do this. See, you got to build boundaries in your marriage. A boundary defines where we will go and where we won't go. There are certain things as far as love and respect and honor towards one another that we got to have some of these statements kind of figured out. Babe, why don't you share this very first one with us?
Yeah, so the first I will not statement is we will not violate the purity of our marriage. And I wanted to remind you of what the definition of purity is. And so it's actually without admixture, spiritually clean because someone has been purified by God, free from the contaminating influences of sin. And marriage is meant to be without mixture. Yeah. Marriage in its purest form is you, your spouse, and God. Yeah. It's kind of a weird mindset to kind of focus around because you're like, well, God's in my sex life. Absolutely, 100%. God is in your sex life. And so a couple things that I feel like that that we can actually do, or things that we need to be able to guard and protect against, and to know that we have a responsibility not to violate our marriage, are through a few things that kind of bear with me, because you might be kind of been like, huh, what do you mean by that? But the first one is through imagination. We can actually violate our marriage through our imagination. Imagination means almost like creating something. You're creating this, in my mind, especially as women or even men, whichever way you want to put it, we're creating this fantasy world. We're creating this fantasy idea of what our sex life should be, or maybe we should do that because we saw that, or maybe we want this imaginary life. So we're creating something that quite potentially is not meant for your marriage. It's not meant to be a mixture and is not meant to be a part of it. That's adding something that was not meant to be there. And then the second one is visualization. And in me, that's seeing something. That's visualizing something. You're whether it's through videos, whether it's like pornography, whether it's through TV shows, photos, whatever it is, you're using those as a tool to create intimacy, to create connection, to create some kind of feeling of just of certainty, of contentment. You're looking for those things. You see, those things are adding into your marriage that was never meant to be there. And the final one is actually inspiration. And what I think about that, I actually want to read you the definition of inspiration because it's so good. It just says, the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something. My simple question in that would be, what are you thinking on and what are you trying to stimulate yourself with by your thoughts? And all of these start in your mindset. All of these start in your mind, which is why it's so important that we have a responsibility to guard our minds. It's a responsibility to not violate the purity of our marriage, because through inspiration, imagination, all of those are going to be areas that you have to guard and protect against, because your marriage was meant for the three of you. It was not meant to pull somebody else or something into it. It was meant for the three of you. All of these are sources that are super easy to have access to, especially today. It's easy. But again, they all start in your mind, and so therefore we must determine in our minds that we're not going to violate the purity in our marriage.
That's so good, man. I just want to reiterate that, because I thought that was such good points. That for each one of us, guys, I'm going to talk very, very honestly. When you get married, if you've had sexual history, okay, it is easy in your head to wander. For those of us that have had addictions to different things, such as pornography, all those kinds of things, listen, we have to pull every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, which means I'm not in this sexual relationship to serve myself. I'm here to serve my spouse. So I'm going to focus all of my attention on that person. And you know what you'll find is that as you make those commitments, God will begin to what? Give you more freedom and more love because you're being responsible. I will not violate the purity of my marriage. I will not introduce things that the other person isn't on board with into my thought life, into my imagination life. Because honestly, here's what Jesus said. Even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So here's what ends up happening is we start feeding these things, trying to bring something back alive that God actually has solutions for. And then what do? We're actually breaking it down further, and it becomes a self-destructive pattern. Because why? We cannot violate the purity of our marriage. But here's another one. I will not disrespect my spouse. So while we have freedom and joy to do whatever, listen, because I'm in this relationship not to serve myself, but to serve the other person, I'm never going to lead the other person somewhere that they do not want to go. That is the definition of, let me read to you the definition of respect. A feeling of deep admiration for somebody. A feeling of deep admiration for somebody. Would you try to manipulate somebody that you had deep admiration for? To serve yourself? No. Somebody I have deep admiration for, you know what my usual default is? How can I serve you? I care about you. How can I serve you? And oftentimes, man, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and one side of it is trying to lead the other spouse down a road that they're not comfortable with. And here's what I found is if you just continue to live in the parameters of God's word, God will continue to produce freedom in your lives. So whatever we're doing, whether we're having fun or whatever, here's what I would say in your sexual world. What comes out of your mouth, is it honoring? Or is it disrespectful? Don't bring, I'm being raw right now. Don't bring what you saw on a video and the language into your marriage. Don't bring what you saw on TV and the language used into your marriage. Let your language be full of love, compassion, hope. May it build up the other person, not tear them down. See, when we disrespect somebody, what we actually end up doing is we actually end up devaluing them. That literally honor is placing value on somebody. Disrespect is taking honor away. If we think that we're going to disrespect or dishonor our spouse and our sexual life is going to thrive, friends, we've got another thing coming. Let's let our language, our body posture, and our actions be one of honor and respect. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 33 says this, "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself." Would you disrespect yourself? No, you wouldn't, so don't do it to your husband or wife. And his wife must respect her husband. So what we're saying is when we say we're not going to disrespect, what we're saying is we're going to fill our marriages, not just our sexual life, but our marriages with what? Love and respect. That's going to be our greatest calling. And here's what I want you to understand. You think some of the stuff that the world is going to give you is going to spice up your sex life? Friend, it won't. It'll actually end up ending your sex life. But you bring some love and some respect and some honor and some service and some care and some compassion. Friends, you watch that thing come alive. And what you're going to find is you're going to get more freedom than you had before. You're going to get more love than you had before. Why? Because you're taking responsibility for the freedom that you have been given. I will not disrespect my spouse.
And with those two statements, the final one is I will statement. And it's I will serve my spouse's needs. And I don't like to say that this, I will do this, but I get to serve my spouse's needs. I see it as an opportunity that by honoring my husband, by honoring my spouse, I'm honoring God. Not only because God asked me, but because that's what I've experienced in his love. So I'm going to love him the way that God loved me. And you know what? That's not always the easiest thing to do. It's not always easy to take others into account. But when you place values on your marriage, values like I'm not gonna add mixture to my marriage and where I'm gonna fully respect my husband, when you add those values into your marriage, it's easy to serve one another's needs. It's easy because I know that I want the purest of marriage. I want the best thing for my marriage, and I have these values on it, so therefore I will do everything in my power to serve his needs. And I love what Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out for your own interests. So simple. And sometimes God's word is just so clear. And this is such a clear scripture. It says, don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You see, I'm going to take interest in what he wants because I'm going to make sure that I will not violate my marriage. I'm going to make sure I don't disrespect him, and I'm going to serve him with all of my heart. You see, I want to serve him. I want to please him. And marriage can be very much about what we can get out of it. But instead, how about we look into what can I give into it?
So good, so good. And so finally, we've looked at some of these responsibility statements. You know, I will not, you know, make my marriage impure. I will not disrespect my spouse. I will serve my spouse's needs. And that last one, I feel like has been manipulated in Christianity to the nth degree. Here's what I would say is you can't expect somebody to serve your needs unless you're keeping your marriage pure and you're not disrespecting them, and your goal is to fill your marriage with love. But when we have those things in place, we can say, hey, you know what? We're going to serve each other's needs, despite how I feel or despite the season that I'm in or whatever. I can serve my spouse's needs. Why? Because what? We've got great freedom going on, and we're taking responsibility for that freedom. And you know what I found is that over time, man, it produces this beautiful thing over and over again called love. I mean, just think about it. God's plan A for two people who have walked in purity and have learned what? A level of self-control. Now are saying, you know what? I will love you till the end of my days. And God answers that with going, you know what? You got freedom. Run. Have fun. Make it a party. Do it often. Have fun with your sexuality. But I want you to understand there's some responsibility, because why? I don't want you just to have freedom. I want you to have love. And that bridge is responsibility. That we're going to do some things and we're not going to do some things. We're going to protect our marriages. Just imagine with me growing up, you know, living your life for God. Then you meet a special someone and you guys have kept yourself, and then you get married and it just, you find freedom. And then, but you're both considerate to one another. You both serve each other's needs. You're both not disrespectful. You're honoring. And you both like to have fun. And your house is filled with love and with passion and with desire. There's spontaneity. There's fun. This is God's plan for sexuality. That God wants you to understand there is a plan, and it's called freedom. But what the world calls freedom, it's not freedom. And it oftentimes doesn't produce love. Just ask people around you their experiences. What you'll find is the freedom that the world will provide will actually provide a freedom that requires no responsibility, that also equals a false sense of love that ends in disappointment, heartbreak, and wounds. And what God wants is, God wants your life to be filled with love. God wants your marriage to be full of honor and respect and freedom. How many are thankful today that God has a plan? And though it may not be a microwave plan, though it may not be instant gratification plan, friends, I would rather have God's plan A every day of the week and experience freedom and have love flowing in my life than to have all those false things try to prop me up, only to lead to more anxiety, fear, doubt, and brokenness. Today, I believe that God wants to liberate marriages in this place. God wants to bring back that sense of love and freedom and spontaneity and responsibility, that we are serving one another, that we're caring for one another, that we are having fun together, that we're learning to get back. Jesus said this in the book of Revelation. He was talking to a church. He goes, I know all your good works. Like, I know all your good works. You do good things. You do it. But this one thing I have against you, you've left your first love. You know what? That's a picture of us in the church. It's a picture of marriage. That sometimes we get married, we start having kids. We're doing good things. And God's proud of those good things. But friends, we got to get back to our first love. Because before there was my son, before there was this church, before there was all this other stuff, there was this beautiful girl that I love with all of my heart, friends. And we're going to experience freedom. And I'm going to take responsibility for that. And we're going to birth love in our marriage like never before. Why don't we stand to our feet all over this place? Can we give Angela a big round of applause? Man, such a good day. Right now, I want to pray for a few groups of people in here today. I want to pray for people like you're not married yet. I want to pray that God would give you strength to stay the course, to be a person of integrity, that one day, man, you can find freedom and liberty in this area. And whatever you're going through today, hey, friends, listen, there's about 100 other people in this room that are going through it too. Don't walk it alone. Find somebody to chat with about it. Get some accountability in your life, because God wants to bring victory in your life. But also, I want to pray for marriages in this place, that God would bring back that level of spontaneity, of freedom, of fun, and that God would teach you what it means to be responsible with it so that love never grows dim.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.